Blog Talk Radio.
All right, this is Ramble Rousing with Bergeron.
Yo, Tornado, Tony Pennicow.
Coming at you with another live edition of the Titans Unlimited Combat Sports Show, which soon may be the Your Company Here Combat Sports Show. Yes, sponsored for a premium
show.
I don't know yet. We're going to work that out, but we're trying. We'll figure it out before February when that takes effect. But not okay. Yet tonight. I just figured we'd go with the latest boxing news.
Oh, absolutely. I can always go with the latest boxing news.
MMA news, of course. There's a little bit of that, too. Probably the most interesting story in my eyes to talk about MMA-wise isn't really anything to do with the fight, but a little bit more criminality associated with the UFC. Turns out that Chael Sonnen is not just a steroid cheater with his testosterone. He's also a mortgage cheater. Something like $69,000 got laundered through a real estate transaction he was involved in, and the money went first to his Chael Sonnen's mother's company, a company under his mother's name that was listed as a plumbing company that was supposed to do a certain amount of repairs on the house that were never actually done. So instead, the money got sent back to the buyer of the house, and everybody who was part of it made some kind of commission off of it. And, of course, you know, his mother must have made the money, and he did, because he just got busted on one count of money laundering. So now the UFC has frozen his contract, and I don't know if there's sentencing or whatever going on, but I thought that was kind of an interesting story. And I was actually surprised that the UFC took a move to suspend him. I guess that kills all indications that he might be a pick for the Ultimate Fighter show. At least not the next one. It's going to be a while. But other than that, there's not too much going on. boxing-wise, Floyd Mayweather's in the news again. I don't know if you heard this, but I thought this was kind of funny today when I read it. The Neighborhood Association in Southern Highlands Estates filed a complaint in Clark County Court, which is the same court that I have my case in against Zions in Las Vegas, Nevada. They're seeking $10,000 in damages against Floyd, and they say he refused to add ID stickers to his vehicle, add a transponder for access to the private community, and he's also threatened security officers on the property with at least one occasion becoming physical. And he was arrested last month on battery charges over parking tickets from within the community. So this is just the latest things for him. His home is over 12,000 square feet and valued at over $9 million. And the problems have been going on since last October. Kind of funny. And I don't know, I think Floyd Mayweather is trying to do the new Mike Tyson in a bad way. You still there, Tony?
Yeah, that, I mean, I was just listening to what you're saying. I mean, to be a fighter like Mike Tyson in his prime, great thing to want to be. Being Mike Tyson outside of the ring during his prime, or even like, you know, later in his career, not a big thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It just blows my mind because I just wrote an article the other day on opposingviews.com saying that I don't think the Manny Pacquiao Floyd Mayweather fight's going to happen in 2011.
I don't think it will either.
Yeah, and this just kind of confirms it. I mean, this guy's going to be paying all kinds of lawyer fees just to work out civil and criminal cases. Oh, you're just going to at least all
the way. Look at the way. Floyd's a guy. He likes De Niro. Let's be totally honest about that. You saw the first time they did the 24/7 with Mayweather and De La Hoya, and they were showing him dropping like $50,000 betting on a basketball game. And, I mean, you're lying in sports. I mean, Rich, I don't know how much betting you do on sports like baseball or football or whatever. I used to do like pools and stuff on like NFL and NCAA football games. Because football, I think, is the easiest sport to handicap. I mean, you watch a game, and for the most most parts, you get like a line of like 7 points or 3 points or 3.5 or any bullshit like that, and it's usually right on par. I mean, basketball, how the hell do you handicap a basketball game?
Yeah.
And same thing with baseball. How do you bet on a baseball game? You know, and I know Floyd likes to do a lot of, betting on basketball, and that's all well and good. You're going to lose more than you win. So say you bet on 10 games a week, $50,000 a game, and you lose 7 of them. And then you got your VIG fees in there. You've lost, even if you went 50-50 on that, those other fees, those 10% fees, means how much did you just drop? You know, you ended up losing, $50,000 just on the VIG fees. So you keep doing shit like that, yeah, you're going to lose. You lose more than you win. Then you're going to have all these court costs. You're going to have, a lot of lawsuits going against you. You know, Floyd Money Mayweather might be Floyd Nickel Mayweather. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the type of thing. You get a lot of these great fighters that were at the top of their game that were so desperate, they were willing to do anything for money. You're talking about a guy like Mike Tyson doing around-the-country sparring sessions with headgear on for money. It could be to the point where Floyd might not have his, head on the game, or head in the game, I should say, but he's going to sit there and say, you know what, god damn, I'm screwed. I'll take a fight with Mayweather, or I'll take a fight with Pacquiao. And then that's, when you're not in it 100%, that's when you get your ass knocked out. I need the money, let me just do it. Let me just forget my demands. Forget the big ring. Forget the blood testing. Forget, the bad liver gloves or where it's going to be held. Forget all of that. Let's just make the fight so I can get this money. I'm in deep shit. Mm. That can be another weakness going on for Floyd. My dad just yelled up to me about 10 minutes ago, right before we went on the air. Najim Richardson, who was who still is the longtime trainer of Bernard Hopkins, now is started training Shane Mosley for a couple of Mosley's last fights. Starting with he's the one that actually caught Margarito with the illegal hand wraps. He came out and said that Mosley will smoke Pacquiao. I can't see it. I don't see it, to be totally honest.
No, I don't see it either. I think it's because Mosley, he just can't compete with the output. And Pacquiao has been hit by a lot of guys that punch harder than Mosley. Tap into some of his power and got some past fights, but he's seen Pacquiao.
Mosley's not a guy that's going to hit you like a Tommy Hearns would or Mike Tyson. Or, even a Rocky Marciano or a Joe Mills, a guy that's a very explosive one-punch puncher. That's not Floyd. Floyd, I would say, was more of like a Sugar Ray Leonard type of puncher. More like quickness, sharpness, using his speed. Obviously Sugar Ray had more punching power than Floyd did, or does. Floyd is more of a guy that's going to, get rid of the Ricky Hatton. He was beating Hatton off because he was so much of a better fighter. And then Hatton got so desperate, he ran into a punch, and that's what, started his, downfall. But he definitely did not go down like he did when Pacquiao hit him. So, for Floyd to, be able to hit and hurt Pacquiao, he would have to use smart-timed counter punches. He would have to use, just quickness. He wouldn't be able to, try to blast him out like, a big-time puncher would, because that's not him.
Yeah. I think the whole thing is going to get pushed off to maybe next year, maybe not. Maybe never. I think it's going to be like forever. People are just going to talk about what if. No, maybe it will happen, but I think they're trying to promote it and push it and make people eat the idea that it's going to happen before they've worked out any of the major details. And it seems like there's such a huge stalemate right now. And people don't consider the fact that, Floyd Mayweather could be in jail, in prison.
Pretty well could be. 100% right.
He could get convicted for this shit. And especially exhibiting this type of behavior, people are putting him in the news in the same community, civilly, and stuff like this, and dealing with security guards. They're just going to look at this other case as a chance to really get him, Whether he's the greatest boxer in the world or not. They don't give a shit, The guy is just thumbing his nose at everybody around him. And he's acting like, a little punk.
Right, exactly.
Reminds me of the way Tyson fell from grace. He just stopped wanting to jump rope.
That's what he is.
Yeah. Money Mayweather is going to be spending a lot of money on lawyers. Because he's not going to be his own representative. I think he could fight his way out of the courtroom. Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting that this community organization now is coming after him. It's just one more notch on his belt of haters. And it's in the same area. One thing this guy is suing him from across the country or something, these people. They're literally next door. The thing that blows my mind is you're living in a gated community with security. What the hell is your problem? You've achieved the American dream. That's a great thing to have. You not only have a beautiful house, 12,000 plus square feet, you got your own fucking security for the whole neighborhood. So what? You got to put a transponder on your car and you got to show your ID every now and then when you go into your gated community. But you live in a gated community, dude. appreciate it. You know, so what? You can't park exactly where you want to park, you know? If you're going to park there, pay the ticket and shut up. Don't beat up the security guard.
Yeah, right.
You know, if you got so much money, you don't care, just do it. But it's just stuff, all these things, and, you know, just reminds me of Mike Tyson hasn't really made the news much. He attacked a photographer, I think that was the last big thing. And he had some problems in Arizona there for a little while. But,
oh, yeah, he definitely had some problems in Arizona, especially even if he's admitted, you know, drug use. I mean, he was coming around the point saying, like, yeah, I'm crazy, blowing up my nose. He was admitted, you know, fully.
Okay. Anyway, Floyd is in deep trouble. I think he's on a road to trouble. There's other stories too that I haven't talked about that he's been implicated in.
He's stupid as hell, you know.
It just blows my mind. You know, the guy's got so much talent. Everybody wants to see this fight get made. And he just keeps screwing up his personal life to the point where, you know, people are just like, you shouldn't even fight because of all this, you know, because you're going to be so distracted by it. Oh, you can't focus on training. And can you? I mean, you get to testify this day, you got to worry about hearings this day. Training's got to be a constant thing. You got all this shit going on, and you're not going to drop it to go to court. I don't know. It's just, there's not even been many stories come out about whether Floyd is training or not, if he's going to fight somebody. It's like people have just kind of given up as to who deciding who his next opponent is going to be. I haven't seen any speculation of that. So that could be a good thing. Let him straighten out his freaking legal issues and then go on his way. But I mean, it might mean that the Pacquiao fight never happens. If he gets like 2 years in jail, 3 years in jail, I know that he's going to want to fight when he comes out. But maybe it'll humble
him. Look at it this way, Rich. I mean, there have been fighters out there that at the peak of everything, you know, basically threw a lot of it away. Now, people even use Mike Tyson as an example. Okay, Mike Tyson, you know, he was, you know, he was still, you know, the top of his game, and he was, and when he got sent to jail in 1992. I dispute that. Mike Tyson was still a top-of-the-line fighter, but he wasn't where he was 4 years prior to him getting thrown in jail. 4 years prior when he was, like, you know, destroying Larry Holmes and Michael Spinks and, you know, making 20-some million a fight. Yeah, like that fight against Spinks. I think he made, like, 22 million for that fight. You know, he wasn't, you know, the indestructible monster anymore. He figured, oh, he'd been knocked out by Bussy Douglas. And even if that was considered a fluke, he still had two tough fights with Razor Ruddock. I mean, especially the second fight. I mean, Ruddock went the distance with a broken jaw and had Tyson even wobble a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something. The guy that my dad worked with was a former pro fighter. And the guy knew boxing very well. And at the time, you know, Tyson, I think, was still even champ before he lost to Douglas. And provided he beats Douglas, he was Vander Holyfield. And everybody's saying Tyson's going to kill Holyfield. Holyfield, you know, had a horribly tough fight with Michael Doak. He's too easy to hit. You know, he's a blown-up cruiserweight. And then, you know, Tyson loses to Douglas. Holyfield wins the title. Then, it's going to be Tyson versus Holyfield, and Holyfield the champ. And people are still saying, man, it's a competitive fight, but Tyson's going to win. My dad, the guy that he was his boss, actually, the electrical company, said, no way. From day one, when Tyson was still champ, he said, Holyfield wins that fight. And it was, what, you nuts, man? He goes, Holyfield wins that fight.
Mm-hmm.
Holyfield, too much heart, and he will beat Tyson, like, first of all, smothering him on the inside, not letting Tyson, you know, swing crazy, And he's got an answer for everything Tyson's going to throw. And he's got too much heart. He will beat Tyson's heart. And they're like, oh, you're crazy, you're crazy. So then Tyson goes to jail. Holyfield had those tough fights with Whitaker, then he had that possible heart condition, and then he came back, and he won a few fights, but he didn't look great. Now Holyfield's finally going to play Tyson. And, oh, man, Tyson's going to kill him. It's going to be a murder. Tyson just destroyed Frank Bruno. Bruce Seldon was so scared, he fell when Tyson threw a punch close to his head. Oh, my God, it's Mike Tyson. You know, he's back to what he used to be. And what happened? Holyfield beat the living shit out of him. Since the guy that my dad had worked for had since passed by that time. You know, he had cancer and he passed away. But my dad's like, Billy always said, no matter if they fought when they were 5 years old, if they fought when they were 105 years old, it would always be Holyfield's fight.
No,
Styles gets fight, and that goes to Holyfield.
We never get to see Mike Tyson versus George Foreman. George used to always talk about wanting to fight Tyson, though, because I remember specifically after a lot of his wins, he would talk about how he felt bad for the guy, so he'd take it easy on him, you know. And he'd say he wanted to fight Tyson because Tyson was such a bull, he wouldn't have a chance to feel bad for him. He would just defend himself. And it would be a war, you know. So he wanted that fight, but they never made it.
A lot of money. They were actually trying to get that somehow. I forget why he fell apart. I remember right after Tyson had lost to Douglas, and his first fight was going to be back on HBO. He was fighting Henry Tillman, who had beaten him in the Olympic trials. And Foreman was fighting on the same HBO card against a guy named Addison Rodriguez. And that was like the perfect way to put them both in the same cards against guys they should systematically beat. Foreman knocks out, Rodriguez in two rounds with a single left hook. Tyson knocks out Tillman in one round with a single right hand. They both looked amazing. Perfect time to put the fight together. But I guess Tyson was more or less looking for the winner of Holyfield Douglas. And the funny thing that happened was, who got the winner of Holyfield Douglas? Foreman. Which was, you know, a brilliant move. Just due to the fact that, Foreman made a lot of money for that fight.
That goes to show you how much character can be important, too. You know, in a fight. And, when the promoters get together, and the people cry out for a fight, you know, you got to have some sort of popularity on your side. And, you know, everybody loved George Foreman. How could you not?
Oh, yeah. My dad was a good team, George Foreman. Did he beat Joe Frazier?
Mm. Well, I get the mismatch of the week going on tonight here on Box Rec. Get this, Tony. You're going to like this one.
Okay.
I'm going to put heavy money on this guy who's 1-3 here. Fighting a 6-round flyweight fight. Thailand against Pong Sak Lek Wong Jong Pan, who's 77-3 with 1 draw and 41 knockouts at flyweight, fighting a guy who's 1-3, Harry Pernomo. That's the best match of the month.
You get a kick out of this. I think you'll like this. I always talk about Dr. Cox a lot on at the show. Dr. Cox is a great influence in, you know, my career, my life. He taught me a lot of things, not just in the world of boxing, but just in life in general. And part of the reason I think I'm a good journalist now is some of the things he really instilled in me. And one of the things I'll remember was my sophomore year. I had a rough freshman year of college, boxing-wise. I'm not the greatest. I'm still not, but even at the time, I wasn't the greatest athletic fighter. I wasn't overly fast. I could hit hard. But my problem was I didn't know how to get really in good shape, and I didn't really know the skill of the sport. I didn't know how to, see a punch and duck a punch and, get inside. I was just coming straight in and walking through the opponent's punches to land my own. Well, obviously, in an amateur fight, you're going to be giving up too many points doing that. And then I wasn't in great shape in the world either, so I couldn't sustain it for three rounds. I wasn't a Rocky Marciano at the time. So the one thing, pulled me aside my freshman year. I ended up 1-3. But all three guys I lost to were, I think the worst guy was a regional semifinal or a regional finalist. Everybody else was fighting in the nationals. So it was all quality guys that I fought open division from the start. And guys like, you know what, until you learn really the skill of it, get in shape. Because you'll learn the skill eventually, and you'll learn how to duck punches and slip punches and do the movements. But until you do that, you know, you at least better have a full tank of gas. But maybe guys will get tired of hitting you, and then you can and then won't have nothing left. So that's the one thing he taught me. So going into my sophomore year, I'm 1-3, but the doc could tell that I greatly improved. I had gotten in good shape. I really worked on training and technique. And he was expecting me to be one of his top guys, which I ended up being. So I'm up in his office the weekend before our first show. And he's on the phone with the coach from the University of Buffalo. And we're sitting there, and the guy's like, you know, the fight's going to be at Penn State. And he's like, okay, doctor, all right, how many guys do you bring down to the show? I'm bringing like three guys down. I'm bringing a guy at 165. Okay, I'm bringing a guy at like 147. And a guy at around like 175 to 182. He's going to be in that range. Well, we had two guys on the team that were going to be on the show that were around that weight class. It was myself and this guy, Chad. I've talked about Chad before. You know, he and I were completely different, opposite personalities. And Chad, the year before, had a record of 4-1. But he was fighting all guys like in his first fight, all novice fights. He finally stepped up a little bit near the end, and he got pretty much thoroughly beaten. He didn't get stopped, but he got outclassed. He was never going to be a great fighter. He didn't have the personality for it. He didn't have the instincts for it. So we're sitting there, and I'm there with Doc, and Doc's talking to his coach. And the guy's like, okay, so this guy you have at about 175 to about 180. I got two guys I can match him up with. Because I got this guy, Chad, and Chad weighs, he's right now around mid-170s, and then my other guy, he's sitting in the office with me. He's like, Tony, what'd you weigh out at last night? I'm like, weighed out at 181, Doc. Okay, yeah, sounds great. You're in really good shape. I said, yeah. He goes, okay, he goes, well, what was Chad's record last year? I'm like, Doc, you're 4-1. Yeah, 4-1. Tell me, what was your record? I'm like, well, Doc, I was 1-3. Oh, yeah, 1-3. Oh, okay. Well, Coach, you know, we got these two guys. I tried made about, 166 or 176 yesterday and got a record of 4-1. We got Tony over here, he had a little tough luck last year. He was 1-3. He weighed at 181 last night. Oh, yeah, I mean, you could have either one of those guys. They're both open class fighters, Tony competed in the regionals last year, lost to the eventual champion. Chad didn't. Okay, you'll match up with Tony. Okay, cool. No, listen, punchers? No, on our guys, no. We only really got one devastating puncher on our squad, and he's our 156-pounder named Jason. No, he'll be fine. Yeah, Jason's the only puncher we got on the team. And Doc's looking at me winking the whole time. Mm-hmm. He goes, that's how you slide somebody. And I said, what do you think? And I'm laughing. And I thought that guy was going to play by record only. And when he heard Chad had a 4-1 record, he got scared. I didn't tell him that he fought all novice fights last year and that he fought all open class fighters. He goes, I also didn't tell him about your punching power. He goes, we were going to show him a surprise. I was drooling looking for that fight. That was like, I think it was on Wednesday or Thursday, the fight was going to be Saturday. And, of course, it's my luck in life. A freaking blizzard hit Buffalo that Friday night, and the entire squad couldn't make it. And then they actually never really would fight off campus. They would have an invitational every year. They came to our home show, only brought, like, one girl and, I think, one guy. And then they had an invitational the next year, and Doc didn't even take me up for that one. He was sending me up to New York for a big show. But that was just Gossip. Yeah, we're gonna show them something. I was just cracking up. So I said, one of the many things he taught me.
I learned to watch from Coach Fisher's very first academy and Colonel Falcon, of course. Gordy.
Hey, Gordy.
Gordon Cockins. I was like, holy shit, I could not believe running one day, 3 miles, 5 a.m. in the morning. And it took me like 30 minutes just to pass him, but I seen him. And he's literally freaking running Marine, smoking a cigar. And I thought that was just in the movie. So that's how it's real. But it's good country to run in. And it's kind of funny last week somebody said it's an important thing in the fight. And Ray said, "Why you're doing the road work, running 7 miles every Tuesday, you need us to run. I don't forget those runs. That should put me in the best shape in my life."
The glory days.
You should have played that at the beginning of the show. Actually, looking at the Fox record schedule right now, and ESPN2 is coming back with Friday Night Fights. A pretty interesting matchup.
See, that's not it pisses me off, Rich. They put it on hiatus like late September, early October. If you go about 3-4 months with no fights, and then they really don't hype it up, for hey, it's coming back on Friday Night Fights, and then it usually takes me about 2 weeks before I even,
know to watch. They don't promote it well enough, I just saw a thing about it today, and it's happening tomorrow. What the hell? I have to add the things in. But it's actually a pretty good matchup. One got one loss against no losses. And then it's a title on the line as well. So I don't know if you're going to check. We got light welterweight matchup as the main event, 12-round welterweight. Ruslan Provodnikov, 17-0 with 11 knockouts, fighting Mauricio Herrera, 15-1 with 7 knockouts. This is a vacant WBC Continental America's light welterweight title and a vacant USBA light welterweight title. Also on the card, Demetrius Andrade at literally 11-0 with 8 knockouts, fighting Alberto Herrera, 7-1 with 5 knockouts, 1 draw. And nothing else really that jumps out. But, young unseasoned guys there. And this is the card. Some USBA title there going on. It beams on ESPN2. We don't have much else. Not too much else going on. With the vacant WBC Silver Super Middleweight title going on Sunday in New York. No Gonzalez Alcoba, 25-1, 17 knockouts, fighting Gustavo Magallanes. 29-1 is 25 knockouts. What the percentage? It's a slow week for boxing. Taking a while to get back off the fucking old pace. There's an interesting wrestling story, too. Former gold medalist Ruan Gardner is going to be on the Biggest Loser TV. And we got sent an invitation to do the conference call. So I got to come up with some weight loss questions.
Yeah.
Seriously, I think that would be a good one to do. That's like network TV. Getting my name out there. I don't know how they found me, but he did. It's kind of funny. Reminds me of when I get contacted about the guys from the Boondock Saints seen in Boston. It was quite the interview. I wish I had better camera that day than it came out so well. I got an interview with freaking people that played the Boondock Saints. I'm like, how are these people even know my matters? It's pretty much just the boxing. I do have them. Telefutura's got a card on Friday as well. Fairfield, California. Middleweight fight between Brandon Gonzalez and Lester Gonzalez. Not related. I'm just ending with a Z on the name of that. Brandon is 13-0, 10 knockouts. Lester is 11-1, 6 knockouts. And then they're off. That's pretty much. It's a pretty good main event. For David Holy as a quote from Brooks and Golden Boy. Let's check out what we got. Strike Force Challengers 13 show coming up this weekend, Saturday. It's 7th, I think, tomorrow. Today's the 6th, right?
Today's the 6th.
So it's tomorrow. Strike Force Challengers 13th from Nashville, Tennessee. So look out for that. I'm sure we get some stories on the blog about that. That's one thing Strike Force does, keep us updated. Yeah, UFC sends us links to their ship. I don't know. Strike Force sends us actual cut and paste, press releases with pictures usually. So we try to promote them since they provide us with the ship to promote them. But, yeah, that's going on tomorrow night. We also have a Excite Fight in Spokane, Washington. CFM Monson versus Moon in Winnipeg and Manitoba. And Tough Enough at the Orleans Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. On Saturday, or Thursday, it's New Year's Redemption 3 in Mansfield, Massachusetts. I go, I still live there. It's put on by Art of Fighting organization. And I've heard they put on pretty good shows. I've never been to one. I kind of missed them somehow when I was down there. But also we have on Saturday at the Wenatchee Valley Convention Center, we have the Wenatchee Valley Beatdown. Wenatchee, Wisconsin. Midtown Bend, Oregon, we have Brutal Fights 3 Resilience on Saturday. And we got Sunday, of course, is a bunch of stuff going on in Japan. This one card here, we got Kukua Volume 2 in Nagoya, Haiichi, Japan. And we got at the Swinomish Casino, Round 12 Combat at the Cabaret Fight Night. That's on the 14th. It's another meeting on Sunday. That's it. Another slow weekend for big combat sports. For Challengers 3 there, the big Strike Force event, we have Tyron Woodley versus Tarek Safdidi, Daniel Cormier versus Devin Cole, Evan St. Crowe, which is called Heath, a woohoo. Versus Ron Humphrey, Amanda Nunes versus Julia Budd. I think I've either seen either of those females fight. Pretty interesting. Rowdy Ferguson versus John Richard. Rowdy Ferguson is actually related to Kimbo Slice. But he's a judo guy. He's like an Olympic judo player, as they call them. Did you know they were called players, Tim?
Players?
Judo players, yes. That's the term for a judo combatant. Rod Ferguson.
I don't know too much about it. I mean, there's certain things you play. Play baseball. You can play football.
Right.
I never heard of playing boxing.
Mm-hmm.
You just play MMA.
Play
judo.
And
I don't
it doesn't make sense. You know, combat is one of those things that you're not supposed to consider play at all. So, and especially, you know, when you consider like the Karate Kid movies and you know, martial arts can't be used in an aggressive manner. So, but that's they would call it play. I'm supposed to be for self-defense.
I was watching Karate Kid last night. It's a great movie.
I always use the reference, it's paint the fence, wax the car. Some people don't get it anymore. It's too old of a movie.
I was watching the Karate Kid last night, and a couple things crack me up. Like, have you ever seen the whole... I mean, and I'm not talking about... the next Karate Kid, with Hilary Swank. I'm talking about just the first three, the Karate Kid 1, 2, 3.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Now I'm gonna pose a question to you, and I want you to tell me if this makes sense. First of all, I used to always laugh at Daniel, not only because he would get beat up in every movie, which I found kind of amusing, but he would always be like a nerdy kid. Like he was like, you know, in the first one, he's like getting the girl's radio, and the bully's like, dude, hey man, what's your problem? And then he punches him in the face. He's like, hey, where are you even now? And he's trying to shake his hand. The guy's just kicking the crap out of him, which is kind of funny. Then the second one, he's worried because, you know, Mr. Miyagi is going to fight this guy, Sato. They're going to have a fight to the death. He's like, the guy who, how do you know who wins? The guy who's not alive doesn't. Oh, my God. So they're going to fight to the death at midnight. And Daniel's all worried. And then he sees the Oriental girl. Like having tea, so he goes over and he's making out with her. Boy, doesn't seem like he's too worried anymore. Then he goes and he ends up fighting this guy, and basically a fight to the death, where the loser is dead. And then, of course, he doesn't kill the guy. He pulls the chop, punches his nose, whatever. Okay, so now we go to the Karate Kid 3. And now he's back in the tournament against this, you know, kid that's supposed to be this karate menace, and he's nasty and all that. But here's my thing. You're in and he starts beating Daniel up in the tournament, and Daniel's on the ground, like, crying, like, I'm afraid. I don't want to fight anymore. I'm afraid. You're in a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
All the guy does is hit you one time, you go down, you know, he scores a point. You're done. You just fought a guy in a fight to the death. A fight to the death. And yet you're afraid of this guy in an organized tournament? Wait, that's like me and you fighting on the street. And, you know, we got, like, knives and chains, and we're beating the crap out of each other, where the loser is going to die. And I'm more afraid to fight another guy in the ring with a referee and rules. Does that make any sense?
No.
And another thing that pissed me off, now that I'm thinking about great 80s nostalgic movies, is we're in the year 2011. And I was watching Back to the Future 2 the other week, and I'm expecting my flying goddamn DeLorean right about now. It's only 4 years away from 2015.
Well, can you imagine the kind of technology we'll be talking about then? I mentioned in an article I wrote about the NFL a few weeks ago now, I think, a couple weeks ago, that instead of fining these guys for helmet-to-helmet hits all the time in the NFL, they should just develop better helmet technology. Right?
You know, some people have said that.
What the hell?
You know what someone actually said that I kind of thought was a little bit weird? Instead of, you know, developing better helmets, go back to the old leather helmets from way back in the day.
There's no helmets.
Well, you know, are you out of your fucking mind? But then it's like, well, people wouldn't be doing the same, illegal hits like they used to. I'm like, yeah, well, people are still going to get hit.
gotta be so many more fucking concussions.
Yeah.
It'd be ridiculous. You got all those other pads, you know, the shoulder pads of the head could freaking cut you open.
Yeah, right.
I don't know where these two look at these ideas. But anyway, boxing is a sport with no helmet. And not as many hard hits, though. When you get to throw it on the ground. MMA, sometimes it can be some pretty hard hits.
Like football.
Those guys get a lot of concussions, actually. I think the statistics will show that more MMA fighters get more serious injury over time as the sport keeps going.
Well, I mean, of course. I mean, there isn't enough data right now. They are doing a lot of things. They're doing things right now to make it exciting for one. Like I said, I remember watching, MMA fights like when, of course, we were getting up on pay-per-view. And the one comment on there, was like, this fight was boring. Because the main event was, I watched two of them back in the day. One was Royce Gracie and Dan the B. Severin. And it was, it was boring. I mean, it was a 30-minute time limit, then a 5-minute overtime. Well, 14 minutes into it was 14 minutes of Severin grappling Gracie on the ground. Gracie had his legs wrapped around him. Severin was trying to get his arms free to punch, but at the same time being cautious of an arm bar or anything like that. And then at the 15-minute mark, Gracie knocked in a chokehold. You never saw it. And next thing you know, Severin's tapping out, and that was it. It was 15 minutes of, it was like dry humping. That's why they had to put the rounds in there, because then they even did the Ken Shamrock and Royce Gracie. And I remember watching that one. We watched it live, I think. And once again, it was 30 minutes, and it was Shamrock, having Gracie on the ground, trying to, get a chance at, landing his offense, and Gracie's just blocking it, and trying to get in the counter, armbar or choke. And at the 30 minutes, nothing happened. They both stood up, went to a 5-minute OT. Shamrock landed a beautiful right hand, split his eye open, took him down again, and then the final 5 minutes of overtime was on the ground with nothing happening. That's the reason you've got to get these rounds in there now, at least to get the guys back up on their feet. Because when you're getting guys just laying on top of each other for 25, 30 minutes at a time, I watched that. I'm like, well, I have no more need to watch this. This is not exciting to me.
Right. Well, the UFC is kind of also putting the impetus on putting on a show by throwing people out who don't put on a show. That's another non-rule. I guess I talked about it a few times. But getting back to boxing here, I'm curious about this. Have you heard about Timothy Bradley's latest call-outs?
Yeah, I know he's fighting with Devin Alexander in a few weeks. You better keep his mind on that.
January 29th in Pontiac, Michigan. But Timothy Bradley's promoter, actually, speaking of, he wants Amir Khan or Manny Pacquiao as his next opponent, depending on him getting past Alexander, of course. And Khan appears to be the guy that's closest to an actual negotiation. But that's calling them both of Freddie Roach's pupils right here. And it's actually kind of funny. One of the guys that we tried multiple times to get on the show, I call it to call him the original Iron Mike Pusateri.
Yeah, I remember. Did we ever get to talk to him?
I think we talked to his answering machine a few times.
They never answered.
We got him on. Never got him on. We always tried. We always said he was ready. We never got him. He does better these days. But anyway, he actually was the one who trained Freddie Roach to box. Kind of interesting. It's Freddie Roach is from Massachusetts. So I know the guy that taught Freddie Roach everything he knows. Anyway, and I found his old YouTube videos and I was just like, oh my god, that's cool, Freddie Roach boxing. I met 20 times. Anyway, Timothy Bradley. He's still undefeated, right?
Should be.
But after this past Devin Alexander, either Manny Pacquiao or Amir Khan. So he says, as Pereira says.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing any of the fights. I really enjoyed watching Tim's daddy fight. Young, very good, very, skilled, accomplished fighter. And, he's one of the unsung guys in the sport right now.
26-0 with 11 knockouts. And his last two fights have been against Lamont Peterson, who was 27-0 at the time, 2009,
December.
He beat him thoroughly. Yes, decision win for the WBO light welterweight title. Then he beat Luis Carlos Abreu, who was 29-0. He's not related to a Atreyu from the Never Ending Story. Abreu. Devin Alexander. Next opponent, Devin's 21-0 with 13 knockouts. But, I mean, if you could say it was a blemish, I guess the only blemish on his record is a no contest against Nate Campbell. Because Campbell was cut over his left eye.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's back in August 2009. One or three rounds.
Yeah, he was getting Campbell up pretty good. They were getting a close call to stoppage, but then they,
Who knows? I think boxing is going to save itself without this whole idea of me and Floyd fighting. While the fans are calling for that, a fight is going to come along like maybe Tim Bradley versus Manny Pacquiao. Some up-and-coming that's undefeated. And is probably training more constantly than Floyd is at this point. And they're going to put on a hell of a show. People are going to start to, follow boxing a little more closely. That whole lightweight area, lightweight, middleweight, up to middleweight, is more exciting than heavyweights.
If Floyd wants to kill his career, why sell the fuck away then, Floyd? I'll still be, baby. Throw it away. You know what? We got other guys that are in there that'll be happy to take your spot. We got guys that are out there, Timothy Bradley. Guys like Devin Alexander. Guys that like Sergio Martinez out there, that basically are looking to take that spot. You wanna give it up?
You need to go on down. No room. He's down. Anyway. I think that's about it for the MMA big boxing news. There is one other thing I want to mention about MMA. Fedor Emelianenko is going to take part in the eight-person heavyweight tournament, Strikeforce. That's pretty good news. It's pretty insignificant news, too, but anyway. We've got Alistair O'Green, Josh Barnett, Antonio Silva. Mike Kyle, Brett Rogers, some pretty interesting heavyweights in Strikeforce, and it's going to be a heavyweight tournament. And we'll see. Maybe it will put a spike in the Strikeforce ratings. I know they are the only MMA group to do any kind of business with a main network.
8-man single elimination heavyweight tournament is going to begin in early 2011. Fedor Emelianenko and Fabricio Werdum, of course, already fought. Werdum beat Fedor in a surprising fashion by choke. And Fedor has supposedly been training like a madman, so he's coming back. It's been a while. Josh Barnett's got some pretty interesting history of steroids, so I'm sure people are going to be talking about that and why he should be even involved. Alistair Overeem just won the K1 Grand Prix. So he's kind of striking down anyway, pretty well. But it's a whole new game in the cage, so we'll have to see that. Andre Arlovsky, Burt Rogers, we talked about Sergei Karatinov, also involved. So that's something to watch out for in early 2011. I think UFC and Strikeforce are going to really try to keep each other on their toes. It's like Phil Baroni maybe going back to Strikeforce since UFC is interesting. And that fight, you know, the whole Gray Maynard versus Frankie Edgar fight, we didn't even talk about Jeez, what am I doing? We didn't even talk about that whole card. I actually predicted it to be a tough fight, but I thought Frankie Edgar would win. And Frankie Edgar got kicked and punched all over the freaking ring the first round. But he came back, and there was only one round from that point on that anybody could even possibly give to Maynard. But, you know, there's the whole idea of a 10-8 round. Some people said there should have been a 10-7 round for the first round. Because Edgar was just so close to being knocked out. And the ref could have stopped it at any point. It was rough, and we let it go. And Frankie got his composure back. He got caught a few more times, but not as bad as the first round. And he won. He won the fight, I think, just on that recovery ability. But he gave it a tie decision, so it looks like these guys are going to fight again. Immediate rematch. The series needed to move. Those two were the best choice for the Ultimate Fighter show. I think that would be the best course of action. And great role models, great fighters, and they have to fight anyway, so just put it at the end of the show. The only concern is there's a guy leading WEC. He's now famous for a kick off the cage. And, you know, it's kind of unfair to him to have to wait in line that long. And then do the whole production of the show and the airing of the show before they can even fight the rematch. So if they want a immediate rematch, they have to do it soon and then make the winner and status the host of the show. But they don't have time for that. They got to do it right now, pretty soon, because filming's supposed to start pretty soon. So I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to say, all right, Green Maynard, Frankie Edgar, you host the Ultimate Fighter. And it'll be a great show because it'll be the way to introduce the combined divisions. It's a two different, you know, WEC and UFC. Because they'll have to be putting some guys in from, you know, both circles. And they're already bringing guys in from the WEC as part of the merger. And they're throwing them onto different cards to showcase them. So it'd be great to have him on TV, too. Let's see. But, yeah, you see the media show went pretty well. The main event was really the most exciting fight of the night, I think. Just sort of back and forth. Great man that had the power, and Edgar had the technique and style, but not in the first. He had nothing but guts. All over the cage, but. Anyway, we're going to close it out early tonight. We don't have a guest, so until next week.
Did you go over the UFC card from last week?
We didn't finish now. We didn't go over the whole thing. Should we?
Why not? It's unlimited, aren't we?
Right.
It only takes 5 minutes. Go right ahead, man.
Brad Tavares, actually, we forgot to mention that Phil Brewing lost to Brad Tavares. That was a rough one. Phil started off pretty good, you know. And he got clocked by a head kick. And I see something here. He was backstage talking to Ariel Helwani there. And he was very devastated. But he knew. He saw the writing on the wall. It was kind of interesting listening to his remarks about how he knew he was going to get released after that. So, I thought that was kind of crazy. Because you're out there in the open, you're going to get released. We're all fighting our and the husbands.
Sorry to hear about your father. Now that he's gone, I'm thinking I haven't done anything with my whole life. They say he needs our help. We could be heroes. I made a card. That's what we want. Make our weapons, you know. But no types.
UFC 120. A little UFC commercial there going on. Alright, so Chris Leeden got his ass kicked by Brian Stan. And went against Stan. I shouldn't have. Didn't pick him in my opposing views preview. But I was rooting for him, no less.
You pissed him off by not picking him.
Did
you man? What? You pissed him off by not picking him. That's why you tore him off.
I guess so. Yeah. He dedicated the fight to a fallen Marine, of course, and just beat the other living crap out of Chris Leeden, which surprised me very much. Leeden has been around, done that, been there, and all that. Tough kid, but Stan has just got explosive power. And I even wrote in my article, picking the other guy, I thought Stan would be going in with just so much anxious energy to prove himself. That new level, you know. He's a WEC guy. He's coming into the UFC. He's got to put himself on the map. He's got to retire for sure. He's in his mind, you know. So he goes in there, boom, takes him right out first or not. And we have Brandon Vera versus Thiago Silva. Thiago Silva tuned up Brandon Vera, gave him a freaking busted nose that was pretty horrible looking. I picked the winner this time. I picked the winner in the fight. Clay Guida, I picked right to be talking to Zoni. That was an interesting fight. Guida actually got him with a submission, but they were like making fun of Guida because of the movement. He was moving like a ballet dancer or metalhead at some point. Just shaking all over the place, doing feints and moves. Just trying to throw off talking about Goni there. And it worked. You know, Goni couldn't get his timing down. Guida barely got hit at all. And they started to tune him up good and then wrapped him up in the submission. It was all up in the second round. Nate Diaz got his butt kicked by Dong Hyun Kim. Unanimous decision. That was a fight I did pick correctly. Actually, it's surprisingly well this time out. Jeremy Stevens beat Marcus Davis. I predicted that one, too. Marcus Davis was actually doing much better than I thought he would, though, up to the finish point. It was TKO in round three. Dustin Poirier beat Josh Crispy, a fight I didn't pick because I was rooting for the hometown guy. I got Josh Crispy. He got pretty badly beaten up in that fight. He was a struggle from the outset, and it was amazing he didn't get knocked out of it. She did it. He lost the whole fight. Phil Brewing, we talked about, got beat by Brad Tavares. Diego Nunes beat Mike Brown by decision. Also had Damon Roberts beat Greg Soto by round one submission, and Jacob Volkman beat Antonio McKee by decision. That's it.
Before we get off the air, just want to let you know, last year, Team, the U.S. Football Legend, wish all our listeners a happy, happy 2011. You know, hope all your dreams come true, and, you know, it's time to make your dreams come true. And a few weeks ago, I was at work, you know, miserable as usual, and my one colleague came in. She only lives maybe like 10, 15 minutes from where I do. She said she was up on, you know, an area of my house, maybe about 20 minutes, 25 minutes away, and she said she saw, and the first thing she saw when she saw a building with the sign boxing, and the first thing she thought was a place to get things boxed and packaged, and then she saw a guy working out in there. So she immediately told me the next day, and I'm like, my dog likes, you know, when you pull on his invisible, and, you know, there's, you know, whistles that you're not supposed to be here, the dog's ears perk up, that was like my ears perking up. So in the first, I was like, you know, maybe she doesn't know what she's talking about, but let me go online and look. So I typed in, you know, Boston Gyms, Landfill, PA, and I knew that the Hatfield Athletic Center would come up, which is the one that I've discussed before, that you know, not being a favorite place of mine. And I'm like, that's got to be what she's talking about, but no. It was another gym in the Hatfield area called 309 Boxing, so obviously Route 309. So I said, you know, this is kind of interesting. So you know, I went on, I checked out the website, and they said, you know, they train people for all aspects of the sport, you know, fun, doing like boxing classes, like a aerobic type of boxing classes, which obviously is not my cup of tea. And then they said they also train people for competition, whether it's amateur or professional. Now we're talking a little bit. So what I plan to do is I, about a week or so, I'm going to go there. I actually started to run, the competitive juices started getting in me. You know, I went down the other night and did a light 30-minute workout, you know, a lot of calisthenics, shadow boxing, just trying to get the old blood flowing again. And then last night I went down there, went on the bag a few rounds, sat in the sauna, felt pretty good, got the heart rate up. I'm like, man, you know, it feels good to be doing it again. You know, it's hard because of my schedule. And well, I was like, and my dad's like, oh, God, I know what you're up to. I'm like, what am I up to, Dad? He goes, you're going there, and you're going to want to be the tornado again. He goes, I know. And he goes, because a guy like you likes some attention. I said, what's that?
Battle of the Badges 3 for me.
What?
Battle of the Badges 3.
Maybe. But the one thing I said, I was like, how's that? I said, you know, we got to be in the middle of action because we're the warriors. Mm-hmm. And we ain't no battle. We ain't no challenge. We ain't there no, when there ain't no war to fight. And the warrior might as well be dead. He looked at me. I said, that's Apollo Creed from Rocky IV, right before he went and got killed. I said, give me about a week. Give me about a week. After I show up there, I said, I'll own that fucking place. He goes, and you might go in there, they might whip your ass. I said, you're right. It might. And I said, I might get my ass kicked, and it won't be the first time. But I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there not like great man of boxing, and I'm not going to go there like I'm the tornado and, you know, this and that. I'm going to go there as an average Joe. And the reason I want to do that, Rich, is, you know, you go into a place and you have a reputation that people know, like, oh, my God, you know, and you're going to try too hard to try to impress that person, you know? You're like, you know, you go somewhere and, you know, say you're a good cook, right? And you got a small little restaurant, you know, nothing fancy. And then you got one of the greatest chefs in the world coming in, like this one great Italian chef's coming in, and you want to impress him. So you're going to try to be overly impressive. You might make yourself look like a pompous ass. Another thing that, you know, you want to do is you want to go in and see what these people are like to the natural nobodies. You know, I want to go in there and like, yeah, you know, we can have you doing this and have you doing that. And now, blah, blah, blah. And you know, I know that is not realistic. You know, you want to, and I just want to go see how they train people. I mean, what kind of technique do they do? Because that's what all boxing's about. You know, and it could be a chance where, you know, advantages can get played in. My thing is, during my career, I knew how to condition myself. I knew what it took for me to get in shape for a fight, whether that was jumping rope, what pay combinations I need to do, what pace I need to fight at, little things like that. But I'm going to be honest with you right now. I'm not a guy who will be an expert on, like, plyometrics and shit and doing stuff to make you get, like, heart rates and all that. You know, I could teach you how to do the boxing part of it, but for, like, endurance tests and all that, no, I couldn't do that. That's not things I can train you to do. Maybe they got guys there that are, you know, experts like that, that, you know, can do the extra part of it. But I want to see what their training is on technique. I'm a guy that, of all the coaches I've had that I've really worked with, I've got over 250-some years of experience between Dr. Cox, between Jimmy Arthur, between Coach Cooper, Coach Mike Romanowski, Kevin Burwell, Red Thompson. Those guys are tall. And I would just sit there, after we would work out, I would just sit there and talk to them. And I'd learn. I'd watch them train other guys. Other people would work out and they'd leave. I wouldn't. I would stay. Because I wanted to learn different technique things. I wanted to learn different terminology, like how to say things and talk to people. And little tricks of the trade. Maybe that's something I can offer them. And I said, give me a week. When they see what I have to offer, whether it may be like a trainer or a coach, I guarantee they might offer me a little deal to do there. Give me a week, Rich. I'll own it.
Right.
Give me a week.
So if you do plan on coming out of retirement, I would offer you a challenge to fight in April 30th.
Well, it's not going to happen to you, Rich. You're only giving me 3 months. That ain't enough, you know, as I am right now.
Out of the badges, four? You got to wait for?
Out of the badges, four.
I'm going to have to find some other palooka. You have to find another Rocky Marciano lookalike. Oh, man. All right.
You know, before we say anything, let me give me a couple weeks, you know, just get my feet under me again.
Yeah.
And we'll talk. Mm-hmm. You know, the competitive pieces are staring.
Well, I do have a potential opponent, but you know, it's a guy who has not much experience at all, so I don't want to, like, you know, fight him out and like I'm a champion. That's something that would be competitive. And we have said it could happen. So, someday, we keep saying, could be on a Battle of the Badges card. I could make it happen. But yeah, I get my bag set up right outside the house. I haven't used it quite too much new in here, but I got my bag and my jumping platform on. I just gotta really get my ankle back into commission again and start running. And the more it snows up here, the better that is for cushioning, I think. And there's a hell of a lot of trails to run, so I'm feeling the mountains now. I take advantage of that. I can start hiking some hills. I put your heart rate up. I carried a log up a hill, two logs up a hill the other day. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. And some lumberjacking again, which got me into trouble in the first place with my ankle, but hey, what can you do? Get a heaped house up here. But yeah, I'm definitely going to take it seriously. That's what I'm going to fight in this next bar. Who it's going to be, I don't know. It should be a good show. We're just starting to get into the planning stages again. Just got a message about it today. It's going to be April 30th. Looks like it's going to be something in Boston again. So we shall see. Anyway, that's all I got. I'm going to sign off early tonight, and we're going to promise a better guest to start off here next week than new guest, for sure. Or if you'll be surprised. I know.
All right, that sounds good.
We'll get some money. It's
really good. Well, next week then. Oh, the Flyers are good. Woo-hoo.
Hardy folks. How are you? Thanks for stopping by.
All right. Till next week. Later.